Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's that sound? That's the sound of Downy Unstoppable scent beads going into your washing machine and giving your clothes freshness that lasts all day long. There it is again. It's like music to your ears, or more like music to your nose. That freshness is irresistible. Let's get a Downy Unstoppable bottle shake. And now a sniff solo. Nice. Get six times longer lasting freshness plus odor protection with Downy Unstoppables in wash scent beads.
Final hour hump day edition on Sean, RJ, and Bobby. DFW Sports Station, home of the Cowboys and Rangers, is 105.3 The Fan. We got the guests flowing in the final hour. Nick Eamon, DallasCowboys.com, on what Jerry Jones said or didn't say with us yesterday. Nick will join us at 9:20. Crosstalk with KMC at 9:40. But we got big news last night, and joining us in studio to talk about it, struggling with the Mike Bacsik chair. That's the first thing that happened. FC Dallas president Dan Hunt in studio. Good morning. Welcome. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, good morning. It was a great night. Not a good start with the chair this morning, though.
Do you take this as like an insult, like a downgrade, or the chair obviously looks nice and upgrade? That's a gamer chair. When's the last time you played a video game?
Oh, man.
And what was your go-to?
Duck Hunt. That's right. Yeah. You know what? I feel like I'm at the kids' table, which is appropriate for me with the short chair.
Dan didn't sit down. If you're on the fan cam, he wasn't sitting down in the chair until we came on air in the commercial break. He felt like he had to stand up.
Yeah.
Stand up to be one with us. But we got you in the Mike Bacsik chair. That's a special chair. Let's talk about what happened last night with the huge news in Frisco.
Yeah, I mean, last night was such a special night. Frisco has been our home for almost 20 years, and we had the public vote at City Council to renovate Toyota Stadium. It's going to be a $182 million facelift. Toyota Stadium, when we opened it, was the third soccer-specific stadium and really a trendsetter. We built the first one in Columbus, but, you know, you get past. That's what happens with modern buildings. And by the way, you hope your partners are doing that. If they're not, they're doing something wrong. And so a lot of nice stadiums. But what was passed last night was $182 million bond election, and we're going to renovate the stadium. It's going to be state-of-the-art. This will be the nicest soccer-specific stadium in all of Major League Soccer.
What are you guys going to do?
Everything. And the big one, let's start with the big one, shade. We're building a roof structure all the way around. We're going to demo both the east and the west sides. We're going to go from 22 suites to 57 suites with the ability to add another 22. We're going to 6,000 club seats. Seating capacity goes up by 10%. The concessions points of sales goes up by 59%. Restrooms by 26% increase. We're doing everything.
Okay, so you mentioned the shade, and I see that like in soccer stadiums around the world, and it just hasn't happened in the U.S. for like non-soccer stadiums. Like, I know Miami does this with Hard Rock, where they've got the cover over. Is it just a cost thing? Is that why more teams aren't doing stuff like that around sports?
You know, look, when we actually built Toyota Stadium, the league had literally gone out of business a couple years before. And my first day on the job, we were sitting at the Chiefs' offices in Kansas City. Me, Clark, our dad, Lamar, and a guy who ran our sports company, the league folded on my first day on the job.
And
Clark looked at me. We were sitting on the couch together and goes, congratulations, you've been hired and fired on the same day. Very exclusive club, by the way, to be part of. But, you know, fast forward, and this is one of the fastest growing sports leagues in the entire world. Cost is a big deal here. But we've been incredibly thoughtful in this. And I think the renovation is going to be just spectacular. But you look at, you know, what stadium costs today versus what they cost 20 years ago, 40 years ago, 60 years ago. It's a different world.
Artolo's, of course, want to know who's paying for it. We always have that as a stadium discussion. Who's paying for it and what's the timeline?
Yeah, so $182 million, $65 million is coming from our family. Wow. I'm good at spending my brother's half of the money. So he always says that. And we're responsible for all cost overruns, but this is a partnership between Frisco, FISD, CDC, EDC. That's the magic of Frisco, their partnerships. That's why the Star has been so successful there. Jerry took the team there for the headquarters. PGA is there. I mean, it really is an amazing community. And we're responsible for all the maintenance, capital improvements, upkeep. We spent $50 million to date on that stadium just in maintenance, upkeep, capital. And I bet we'll spend, the lease will run to 2057 now. And I bet we'll spend between $120 and $150 million just keeping it nice.
So the high schools will still play there?
High schools will still play there. Two college games every year. I'd love to have a kickoff classic, honestly. Yeah. One of my dad's life lessons was, hey, taxpayers deserve a return. You got to program these things. And he loved college football so much. He would tell you he played very poorly, but he still loved college football.
And timeline?
Timeline. We'll start construction in January or February of 2025 on the east side and the north. We'll be done with the east about May or June of 2026. We'll start on the west side, knock that whole building down. We thought about renovating it, but in the end, you can't be great without taking a giant leap. And so a renovation was going to hold us back on that building. So it's going to be brand new. It's going to be incredible. So everything should be done December 2027, January 2028.
So part of the renovation here, it's going to be a reduction in stadium capacity. How did you guys go about trying to determine, you know, where you wanted to see those reductions, how much, what you wanted to do with just different sort of things?
Yeah, so we're going to shut down the east side, and we'll have about 11,000 fans a game, which for us this year, we've sold out every single match. First time in the history of the club, 14 straight sellouts. The way it's looking, we will have sold out our entire season, which is a gigantic step for us and very exciting. But we'll have 11,000 fans west and south, and then we'll flip-flop and have east and south and have 11,000 fans. And it's important to us for the city of Frisco to keep having events, right? That's an economic driver, and we don't want to displace our fans. This is their home, and this is our home and for our players. And so we did it in Kansas City at Arrowhead when we renovated that stadium. That was $400 million on that renovation, and we played through it. And that's the way you should do it.
You guys catch some, like, these player surveys, catch some, like, heat for the Arrowhead or Chief facilities. Is that what is your reaction to that? Is that, like, overblown in terms of, oh, this practice facility or this here with, at the home of the Super Bowl champs?
Yeah, my brother didn't let me spend his half of the money on that. No, I think that was just way out of proportion on that. And, you know, when you visit the players, they seem really happy. Yeah, the new facilities are amazing. And you see the stuff that they put in. We're constantly renovating and spending. Again, life lesson for my dad, take care of your stadium. It will take care of you. That includes your facilities. And so we're constantly spending on it. But the Chiefs are at this interesting crossroad. We lost the vote after the Super Bowl there on Arrowhead. And so what we do going forward, stadium-wise and then also practice facility-wise, but it's also time for the Chiefs to now take that big step forward, too. I mean, what an amazing franchise. What a great story. What a great legacy.
Dan Hunt, FC Dallas president, in studio with the huge news that passed last night. I'm always interested when a new stadium is being built and picked out. Who did you consult? What other stadium features around the world of sports did you guys get wowed by, maybe want to mimic? And what will stand out? I wrote down here, seating, concessions, video board. Who do you talk to and say, this is what we want, put the dream together with our vision?
Yeah, I mean, you could start right here. You take AT&T Stadium. We spent so much time on it for World Cup 2026.
You didn't take your shade from their shade with no curtains
right? No, curtains.
Okay.
No, but how they thought about it. Gigantic video board, more suites than any other stadium, club seats, but also having affordable seats, too. We're going to move our supporters to the north end, and so they'll have their dedicated section there. And so it's got to be affordable for fans, too. But yeah, when you look at the stadium, the roof structure is so uniquely designed because of the way the sun sets there. And so we had to really focus on the northwest corner of the building. Mm-hmm. And that's what causes that unique curvature that we achieved for it. So you're taking things. There's great European stadiums. Obviously, the red beams you saw outside, there's some stadiums like that in Europe. I can't say that we directly picked it from the San Siro in Milan where AC Milan plays. But I am an AC Milan fan.
Okay.
All right. All right. Very cool. I wanted to ask you a little about the World Cup. I know you're the chair of the committee and you're on the
short chair.
How surprised were you that DFW didn't get the final when it all came out?
Look, it was done on perception and not reality. Dallas-Fort Worth deserved to have the final. We have graduated to that point. This is a world-renowned city. But, you know, it's hard to explain to your constituents sometimes that you didn't pick New York, the financial capital of the world, right, or business capital of the world. But we were ready. And what I'll say for everybody who's listening is I bet the next big one, whether it's women's or men's, it may wind up here in Dallas. Whenever that happens in the men's game, whenever it comes back, or when the Women's World Cup comes here, we're going to raise our hand to have the final here in Dallas at AT&T Stadium.
What did your cell phone look like when the news did get announced that the World Cup is coming? How many more friends did you make with requests? And what type of explosion? Because we're talking about, I mean, I don't know, Olympics, Super Bowl, World Cup. I mean, the World Cup could be one or two. I mean, you know.
Probably one.
That or the Olympics, right? The biggest sporting event in the entire world. What type of explosion did you feel and did you guys get around the FC Dallas offices when this did get announced?
Yeah, well, Apple was really happy because it meant I was buying a new phone. It sort of just melted on me. But it's already designed to do that at some point, right?
Bobby, you tell me you got the wrong phone?
I mean, it's Team Android. It is a better product.
I'm an iPhone guy. So, okay. And they're our partner at MLS. And by the way, they have changed the broadcast of Major League Soccer. The ability, the wraparound shows, and the quality of the product that Apple has done, it's exceptional. And we're really lucky to have them. People are so excited. I mean, I get this is not the biggest surprise, but from non-soccer people saying, when do I buy tickets? And I don't care how much it costs.
Yeah. This is an event town.
Yeah, it is.
It is an event city. That's exactly what it is. That's why we've had more of them, and we do them better than most any city in the world.
Is there going to be like a fan experience area? Is that like, have you guys figured all that out?
Yeah. I mean, there are going to be multiple areas, right? That we're going to have. There are going to be watch parties. We're going to, energize, Fair Park area. Fort Worth is wanting to be really involved in this, too. And so they're working at the Dallas Sports Commission. Monica Paul, who runs that, she is world class. She's our secret sauce in this. And she's a person who's worth having on any chance you get, because she's the one who's chasing the Super Bowls and the NBA Finals, and she doesn't get enough credit for the job she's done on World Cup 2026, and she pulled this all together for an awesome bid. So there's going to be all sorts of activations. Biggest tournament ever, right, guys? 104 games, 48 teams in the tournament, and we hope Toyota Stadium and Soccer Center, we hope Fair Park, we hope SMU are all, and MoneyGram Soccer Park are all base camps for visiting national teams. We're chasing that. We want to energize this market for 38 days of World Cup.
You mentioned, the attendance success you guys have had there in Frisco this year. How much do you think that made things just easier and even more palatable for the city to say like, oh yeah, we definitely want to buy in on this because we see the communities buying in on it? And specifically, how much you think soccer has grown here with the DFW Metroplex?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't hurt, right? When you don't have empty seats, it doesn't hurt. But I think we've been a great partner to the city, and they've been an unbelievable partner to us. And, it was just time. If we want to achieve those ultimate goals and be a top club, you need to have a top venue for it. And it really is. And one thing somebody sort of brought to my attention, it was obvious Sports Point, but I've been so, you get so insular in this and you're thinking about it all the time. But for player recruitment, which was obvious, but for player retention, because you have players who say, hey, I want to go play in Europe. Okay, I want to go play at that cool venue or whatever. Mm-hmm. They're going to have a super cool venue now, and it's going to be state of the art, and it's going to be loud, and it's going to be fun.
How many times have you met Taylor?
Zero. So, you know, I'm just not one of those guys. I'm a big fan, right? She's as talented as an artist that there's ever been. She's a musical genius. And look, she and Travis seem so happy, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, look, when the time is right, I'll say hi. My dad never met Michael Jordan. And we owned the Bulls since the beginning back at 1966.
Yeah.
And my dad's logic behind it was, my mom and my dad, who both passed away now, but my dad's logic was he keeps winning championships without me meeting him, so I don't want to screw this up.
Right.
And so we keep winning championships. I'm good. Maybe if the Super Bowl run at some point comes to an end, then I'll say I want to meet her.
How chaotic is it, Dan, with her in the stadium? Like, there was a story we read that she wanted to walk through the main entry.
She wants to go through the main gate. She doesn't want to go underneath the tunnel. And they're like,
come on. Arrowhead security is like, no, like, we cannot do that. And Travis is like, no, she wants to do that. But obviously, Super Bowl. What's the scene like? How much more chaotic is it?
It's the most chaotic thing you've ever seen. The mad rush of people and the amount of security and, again, she's that Messi or Michael Jordan or Pelé. You name it. That's the level of talent we're talking about. And, you know, so it always is a challenge. And I just think about, you know, when we had the Chiefs play in Buffalo this last year in the playoffs, we had to walk through the stands up to the suite there. It's an old stadium. And so Clark and I got plenty of the Buffalo salute, which is the middle finger in a snowball. And we're not that popular. And so I can't imagine for her. I actually was thinking about this last game. It's so funny that you say this. I was like, I haven't seen her on the field at our Chiefs game. If she was on the Chiefs field, I'm afraid people would just pile over the walls.
Over the walls. Wow. Hey, man, congratulations. Awesome news. Thank you for coming in here to explain it and share it with all of our Tolos. Best of luck moving forward, and we look forward to doing this again with you.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
The great Dan Hunt joining us here on Sean and RJ 105.3 The Fan, the president of FC Dallas with the $182 million renovations announced yesterday for Frisco. Where's Dalvin Cook? What did Nick Eatman think about Jerry Jones on with us yesterday? That's next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's that sound? That's the sound of Downy Unstoppable scent beads going into your washing machine and giving your clothes freshness that lasts all day long. There it is again. It's like music to your ears, or more like music to your nose. That freshness is irresistible. Let's get a Downy Unstoppables bottle shake. And now a sniff solo. Nice. Get 6 times longer lasting freshness plus odor protection with Downy Unstoppables in wash scent beads.
Now, again, I'm really, I don't know what you're talking about as far as where you're looking, what you're talking about there. But still, I like what we are with our running backs. We've got good depth. We just didn't get to run them enough Sunday.
That was Jerry Jones yesterday responding to RJ Choppy's question. It actually made you look better after the fact.
Oh, yeah.
Because people are like, could not believe Jerry's answer versus maybe laughing in the moment like I did. Like, oh, what a stupid question.
Yeah.
But after the fact, people are losing their minds that Jerry not only talked about the running back room being fine, but also did not seem to give an indication that Dalvin Cook would play this weekend.
I'll tell you what it what, because he said he didn't understand. I'll tell you what it means. Your running backs suck. The running back room sucks.
Well, they didn't they couldn't get to the run game being down that much, RJ.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah.
Let's bring in Nick Eatman from DallasCowboys.com, brought to you by the Windstar World Casino and Resort. Proud to be the casino of the Dallas Cowboys. Please game responsibly. Nick, what jumped out to you yesterday from that Jerry interview?
Oh, great. You know, I mean, I was a little surprised with the Dalvin Cook part. I mean, I thought, I mean, why not? I mean, this is you brought him in to see if he's got something and to see if he could add something to your running back room. And after two games, he doesn't, you know, I mean, the running backs haven't produced yet. And I know that he's the greatest rushing quarterback of all time, probably. But, I mean, the Cowboys have three more rushing yards as a team than Lamar Jackson right now. After two games, and that, I mean, that some of that is because he's really good, and some of it is because your team hasn't run the ball. And so, if you're gonna sign Dalvin Cook to see, you might need him at some point. Looks like at some point it's a lot closer than we thought.
Anything else from Jerry?
Not really.
Okay.
He's optimistic, you know. It was just like he was saying, hey, let's go get it done. Now he didn't give specifically, you know, and why would he, specifically what they're going to do, but I mean, he just made it sound like they've got to play better, you know. And so maybe it is as simple as that, but I mean, you know, I'm sure, you know, it's a lot more in depth when the coaches are breaking it down, and maybe, you know, there is some things that are going to be changed. But I get the sense, in talking to people throughout the day yesterday, that there's not going to be a ton of, like, all right, well, we got to switch this, and this. I mean, I think they are chalking it up as a bad day. And maybe that's the right thing to do. But if that's the case, then, I mean, maybe the Saints are better than we thought. But I don't think that it's a panic button situation, but – does feel like that, you know, some changes need to be made, especially on the defense.
You know, you mentioned, Nick, there that he was optimistic. Was it? Did you feel like it was optimism, or did you feel like it's more like it's too early for me to go super negative yet? Like, I feel almost like Jerry's tone these last couple days has been like, it's early. I'm not willing to just say we don't have problems yet, but it's early, and so let's let this play out a little bit.
That's probably it, and also just how much faith that he has in his coaches, you know, especially his head coach and his defensive coordinator, and so, you know, he and the players that they have. So I think that's part of it. I mean, I think he is optimistic because it is early, so it's probably both can be the case. But yeah, he's we've heard this before. He's not going to just, you know, jump at every situation and panic. You know, we've seen this before, but not really to that kind of loss. And that's what I think is concerning. And, you know, the fact that you just got out physical by a team that you didn't expect to happen, but you do expect the Ravens to be physical, and they've got a running attack that can hurt you in a lot of ways. And so this is what's going to be a huge test for this team.
Nick Eatman joining us here on The Fan. So because of that, do you think we kind of need to change our perception on how we view the first couple of weeks of the season? Because obviously it is early A, but nobody does anything in the preseason anymore, and you're just not what you are?
I think so. I mean, I've never done the when the schedule comes out, I don't ever do the, all right, they'll win, they'll lose, they'll do this, and then boom, that's 10-7. I don't ever do that because – it's ridiculous, you know, because you just don't know. And it's games like that. It's games like against the Saints that, you know, there's five teams in the league that are going to be way better than you thought. Five teams are going to be way worse. Yep. And the injuries are going to affect a lot of things, too. And so it just makes no sense to do that. But you bring up a good point about the preseason, too. Now we know even less. You know, we hear the term unscouted looks all the time. Unscouted, you know, everything's an unscouted look for the first couple of weeks. And the Saints, you know, they didn't – I mean, it was probably like the kickoff – the coin toss, the kickoff, and the first drive, and they're like, all right, we're beating the Panthers. That's, you know, so after that, they blew them out, but how much did they show? You know, and so you didn't even get to see a lot of that. And, but it just seemed like the Saints were five steps ahead of the Cowboys did on everything they tried to do on offense and defense. And that's, I think, the most alarming part.
Nick Eamon, D&M Leasing Hotline, every hump day here on Sean and RJ. So I'm really alarmed, obviously, by the defensive performance. More worry about the personnel out there or Mike Zimmer just getting schooled with the game plan and, despite what Jerry said, my opinion, not adjusting to anything to slow them down within the game.
Yeah, so you're asking me which one is more concerning, the coaches or the players? I mean, the players that are there, the coaches? Probably more the players. I mean, I think Zimmer has shown over his career that he can get it fixed.
Yeah.
You just wonder, what do you have to give up to get it fixed? You know, like what do you, and I'm not talking about like to trade for anybody or anything. I'm just saying, you know, you can stop the run.
Yeah.
Everybody can stop the run if they want to.
Right.
It's just, are you going to be one-on-one on the outside with those safety up? Because we saw, you know, they weren't even loading up for the run, and they were getting beat over the top. So I think we need to see this at least one or two more times of just getting absolutely throttled by a team in every phase to be like, all right, this is a huge problem. You know, so you could chalk it up as a bad day, but it's the last day right now. So until we see that it's not a trend, then I think that we should be alarmed by it.
Nick, I was curious to hear and see what Zimmer's temperament was talking about this during the course of the week. What was he like the other day? Was he pissed? Was he calm? Was he chill? What was Zimmer's temperament?
Pretty pissed. I think he was pissed, but also like he took every sense of accountability, like all of it, like, and even to the point of, I wouldn't say defiant, but when it got brought up again about, you know, you said the players, that he was like, I didn't say that. I said, I need to put them in better position. So like he didn't throw them under the bus at all. He put it all on him. But as most coaches go, like I could see that happening once, twice, maybe, but he's old school to the point where, you know, he may be saying that to the media, but he'll, you know, when if this same thing keeps happening and it is a player's thing, then, I mean, I don't think he'll throw people under the bus, but I do think he'll be a little different in his answers. And also we'll see it in the changes in the personnel.
Nick, more likely that the Cowboys say, we got to make a change here and go out and try and acquire a running back, or go out and try and acquire a defensive tackle?
I would say they would probably sign a defensive tackle before a running back. Again, assuming there's some people out there. But that would be my first thought there. I think they're still going to try to do this within at running back. And then within first, and then the practice squad. So that's the sense that I'm getting, is that they're going to, the guys we saw the other day, we'll get some looks, you know, we'll get the majority of these carries, and then maybe Dalvin Cook the next week. I don't know. I guess he's not ready this week. But
you know, Bobby, weren't you told week three for Dalvin?
That was kind of the anticipation, I think, for some people, is that Dalvin was looking at week three for his launch. But maybe they feel like he's behind. Or maybe Jerry was just not one to tip his hand.
Would a trade be in the works?
True. Well, I mean, like, also, you know, Dalvin Cook may have wanted, you know, week three, because that is the team that he played. The last time he played was with the Ravens. So, I mean, like, you know, and it makes a little sense, too. Like, 3 weeks in, that's how much I need to be ready to go. you know, that's kind of what Jason Peters did a few years ago, kind of same type of thing. So, yeah, I mean, that's that makes sense on a lot of levels. McCarthy said it's not so much just his ability and as far as conditioning, it's also terminology. So maybe he hasn't picked the offense up to that point. But most of the time for running backs, it's, you know, like run the ball, you know. But the big thing is with a running back, and we're seeing it here, is you know, the blitz pickup. You know, I think there's people in the building that want to give Deuce Vaughn more carries. But then there's people that don't want him to ever have to pass block.
Yeah.
You know, and so defensive coordinators are, you know, they're kind of smart enough to know, like, all right, well, we're going to just blitz the house if this happens. So I don't know. Like, it's a tough one. I still feel like Zeke has a little bit more value, and so does Dalvin Cook. They've done it. They've done it in this league for a while, and I think both of them, I would probably – try to see both of them out there if possible.
Nick, you do not have to expand on this. We can do it all more Friday because we're running out of time. But 1 through 10, how bad is this matchup for the Cowboys against Baltimore, with 10 being the worst?
I would say a 7.
Okay.
Just because you know, they got out-physical by a team that's what they do. They out-physical you. And so that's even scary. And they have a hard time stopping dynamic players. And the most dynamic one in the league is happening here. But if you can make him throw, you know, if you can force him in a situation to throw, he might throw it to you as well. So there's that. But it's going to be a big challenge. They're, you know, Cowboys are desperate. They may be not as desperate as the team coming in, which is even scarier.
Great stuff, man. We appreciate it. We'll talk about it Friday.
Friday.
Nick Eatman brought to you by the Windstar World Casino and Resort.
That is the scary
thing. Yeah, it's not good that they're 0-2.
No.
Not good at all.
That is a desperate football team.
Crosstalk with KMC is next.
Here comes Little. The swing and a high drive deep right field. Springer going back. Still going back. He turns to look. It's out of here. Opposite field home run for Wyatt Langford. That's his 12th dinger of the year. Rangers are in double figures now at 10-7.
Hixie with the call yesterday on your home for Rangers baseball. We start Crosstalk with the KNC masterpiece with a Woj bomb.
Oh.
The great Zero hit me up with this. I grew up the son of a factory where I thought this was a political debate.
Oh.
It was starting here.
Fox.
I grew up the son of a factory worker.
Gosh, little boy.
2 miles from ESPN's campus and only ever dreamed of making a living as a sports writer. 37 years ago, the Hartford Current gave me my first byline and I never stopped chasing the thrill of it. But I've decided to retire from ESPN and the news industry. This craft transformed my life. I understand the commitment required in my role. It's an investment I'm no longer driven to make. Time is not an endless supply, and I want to spend mine in ways that are more personally meaningful.
That's nice.
Woj retiring.
Time is a flat circle.
So Woj bomb was about him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty neat.
Wow.
Now you guys
but he's not retiring, right?
He just says he's retiring from media.
From media.
Yeah. Pulling a Gelkin.
What else scooped him on this?
What if Shams like that?
Report is Woj is going
to
retire.
No, that would have been great if Woj would have like fed it to him and let him report it. That would have been funny.
I can confirm Sharanya's report that I am in fact retiring.
Shams is going to be trending all day long now with celebration memes.
That's the thing. The Shams and Woj thing, I mean, I guess lately they've had some disagreements, but a lot of the time it's just like, okay, who's faster by 20 seconds? Like, they're both getting fed so much. So, to me, it's like, oh, okay, Woj is gone, but that just means, okay, now we'll just only get it from Shams. And
no, but sometimes here and there, you know, a GM will have their favorite and give someone a big, big story. But look, this life has to suck.
Oh, yeah.
It has to be awful. When the hell can you take a break? What did Shams say about his schedule?
Oh, like, yeah, it's miserable.
Maybe a pickup game.
He doesn't drive anymore. He has a driver, Shams does, because he said he can't afford to not check his phone.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Not dating Kay Adams, you know?
Yeah.
Him and Corey, the only two.
Same boat. Yeah.
But this has to suck.
I'm with you on that. And when he said, I want to spend my time in a more personal way, I always wonder about the people around you. It's like, hey, you're great. We're glad you made a lot of money. Do you want to spend time with
us? About your significant other and what they put up with while you're watching an NFL Sunday.
Sure.
And then imagine
every day, all
dinner,
the time. Yeah,
church,
yeah,
games,
oh, man.
School. Imagine the things being interrupted and your wife's reaction that Schefter, Rappaport, and Woj's significant others have to deal with.
Didn't we all, though, like kind of want that when we got into this business?
Hell no.
I wanted
to do play-by-play.
That was what, oh, really?
By you.
That's interesting. I didn't know that.
Then I realized I was going into a market with Jared Sandler and he'd off me anyway, so I gave it up.
Yeah, too.
Choppy had to learn the hard way.
I did. I learned the very hard way.
You wanted to report like that?
I mean, like when I wanted... Obviously, the goal was Galloway and Dale Hansen. I want to be a combination of that.
Oh, I thought you were going to say drink
Hansen.
A lot.
Oh, yeah.
Well, because I wear Hawaiian button-down short-sleeve shirts.
TV. Very rich TV.
What I don't understand.
Is that Hansen or me?
That's Hansen.
Oh. But very rich TV,
I disavowed that statement for the record when Mike made it.
Oh, thank you. I didn't hear that.
Very rich TV men. And then Dan Patrick was always like, you want to kind of host a show like him because he was connected to everything.
Yeah. Did you ever want to be like Oberman?
Never. Never really felt
that. You just said you wanted to be like Dale Hansen. Now? That's Olbermann, basically.
Different, though. Just wanted to be the rich part of Dale Hansen.
None of those guys are a big time, like...
But then as I started doing the, like, journalism school and everything, that's when I was like, oh, man, I could be a reporter. I could do this part of it. And as the path started, as I became a family man, that changed completely.
You know what the sports report would look like tonight if Dale Hansen was still on TV?
Here we go.
They'd go to him at 6:22 and he'd go, pagers exploded in Hezbollah today. And then you'd see his little signature pop up and he goes, I don't want to live in a world where pagers are exploding. I grew up, he was miserable. And Mike Leslie is the same person, just with hair gel.
Just remember, Dale Hansen also didn't want to live in a world where women made as much money as he did. That was the thing that he said. He was like, oh, is a camera on?
Okay,
I'm just kidding.
Okay, then I wanted to be Nui and Deucey. Like, oh, can I just throw that out there?
Ruben wanted to be Pat Doney. So.
Yeah, there you go. He got to watch him every night.
You have over to RJ Choppy for a Hezbollah update?
So things are exploding in Hezbollah, Sean. Okay, so yesterday it was beepers. So things from the 1990s were blowing up. And today, radios and other devices used by the terror group are detonated across Lebanon. So over in
Lebanon.
What?
Lebanon?
Isn't it Lebanon?
Lebanon.
Well, listen, here in the U.S., we pronounce it Lebanon. Okay,
oh. I've never heard
that. I don't think we do. We have conversations with people about this
country.
About Lebanon.
About
cities in the United States that are pronounced Lebanon.
Okay.
Right? Okay.
What city is that?
Lebanon, Tennessee.
I did not know that was a place.
Yeah, Lebanon, Tennessee.
Fair enough. You've bested me this time.
Yeah, there we go.
I have a Woj job update.
Uh-oh. Yeah, because I wrote him back.
You apply?
I wrote him back, and I wrote source. Question mark. I needed to know who his source is.
This is actually from Jeff Passan. Let me make sure this is real.
Oh, no. Uh-huh.
Be nice if you could text him and find out.
Well, I could. I just don't want to. Woj has agreed to become the general manager of the men's basketball program. Who knows the book that he always has in back of him for his hits?
It's the...
Communist Manifesto.
The Spain, Real Madrid basketball.
He's going to become the general manager at St. Bonaventure.
Oh,
hang on a second.
The role, college?
You mean the athletic director?
The role includes name, image, and likeness allocation, recruiting, and supporting successful Bonnie's coach, Mark Schmidt. This is from Jeff Passan. He's going to be the GM, which I didn't know till the other day when the Alabama general manager football story came out. I said, I didn't know they had GMs in college.
Either.
And he's going to be the GM at St. Bonnie's.
Man, at the NIL space, there's a lot of media members going into that.
So,
NIL
like,
world.
You, what are they? The St. Bonaventure. What's their mascot?
The Bonnies.
Why aren't they? They got to be the Bombers, right? Because of the Woj bomb. Like that's part of that should be the connection. The Bonnie Bombers.
Talking about Hezbollah, you bring that up.
Oh,
why do you think?
I wasn't talking about that, Hansen.
Why do you think media people are going into that?
Because they have like a connection with, first of all, like with companies around the local area. They've got obviously connections with players and stuff. So there's a lot of media in these small college towns that are going into like the NIL world.
Who is I'm trying to think in terms of personnel. We've seen a couple of these people like make that transition. Like Hollinger went to the Grizzlies for a little while. Mayock went to the Raiders. I don't know about in basketball circles. Mayock going to the Raiders was not received well by most people in the league. That they thought that was like, a bunch of us have been grinding at this job for years and you just snatched somebody off TV.
Like, that pissed off a lot of people.
But was he not a personnel man at one point ever before?
Nope.
Oh.
Who gets the bump now at ESPN to move into this spot?
Schefter. But he wanted to do NBA.
He's gonna do basketball,
too? He wanted to do NBA. Remember that? He wanted to do both.
Man. Who's their number two reporter / insider? Is it going to be...
Windhorst?
Oh,
Windy.
He gross. Doesn't really do that as much, though. Did you say gross?
Yeah. I'm not a huge Windy
fan.
Oh,
wow.
Windy's great,
why?
Man. I don't know.
That's great.
He didn't like the
He's
fingers?
He's iconic.
No, I just never have really enjoyed his
stuff. You know, it doesn't matter who they put in there. Whoever they put in there is going to do the same thing Woj did.
Uh-oh.
Because
here we go.
The most
he's
overrated...
He's a system insider.
He's
a replaceable
what?
Insider.
I have very little respect for...
So you
reporters.
Think you could do Woj's job the
if
same?
If you put me on ESPN mm-hmm. and you said that this is the number one basketball reporter, okay. I would eventually get funneled all the information because I work at ESPN.
Fascinating.
And that's just the way it is. I mean, uh-oh. If you put...
Bobby
you put,
arms crossed while he works with the
If you put Bobby Belt in...
Bobby doesn't do that here.
No, I know. But if you put Bobby Belt
gosh.
In Adam Schefter's chair...
Gentlemen.
Adam Schefter was a nobody. Right? If you put him in Adam Schefter's chair... he would get the same access. Reporting
nope.
is about access. That's all it is. And if you nope. put the ESPN in front of you, I am the number one ESPN reporter.
So you don't think any of his hard work and like accuracy helped him gain any of that access?
I mean, sure, it helps. Okay. But like, eventually you get to a point where you have that chair.
How is Shams able to compete with Woj?
He got the... Woj gave him the
he was
account.
Woj's understudy.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Like, that's what I'm saying is that like you still have to develop relationships.
But
like,
it's
why
not even about
why does Russini why does
account.
Russini not get the same information Rappaport does?
Because she's not the number one.
Why are Rappaport and Schefter like different in terms of when they break news and what they get?
Do you not agree that 90% of reporting is about access?
No, I think that's okay, I think wrong. That's complete ignorance.
But
to
has
what the job
Woj
is.
Created the access? It's just a difference in argument. You think that the four letter gives him the access versus like him working for the access.
Right, but did he create the access or did somebody give him that
Well, how did he do account? It at Yahoo then? Like Yahoo was
somebody gave him the account.
Okay, but
what
yeah,
account?
But,
what are you what do
so
you mean?
You know like they get information
he thinks
on
the draft leaks
the draft
is the
league,
same
you
for,
get the information before. So you have the account for the league.
Okay, that has nothing to do with, like, oh my gosh.
But
that has nothing
how,
to do with being an insider and breaking things.
No, it has nothing to do with it helps. You get the information before anybody else.
But I think that's just for draft
that's
night.
For draft night. And that's
you're
how,
making that
but
for
that's
every,
how you start.
Every single
that's
transaction.
That's how you start. You get it. You get the information there. You make a name for yourself. And now all of a sudden
you make a name. Hold on, wait. You think insiders make a name for themselves exclusively by, well, the first step you got to take is tipping draft picks on draft night. That's how
that's
people come to trust you.
It's so much about access. It's all it is. All these reports.
And bartering and making deals that get you the information.
Wow. Great.
No, that's part. I think that's part.
It's about access. You
can't,
if you have access, you're a reporter.
If you can't
if you
get
don't
to the
have
GM,
access, you can't break the news. It's
I would take
access.
I would take this criticism a little more seriously if you hadn't earlier thought that Hezbollah was a place. I would take it a little more seriously.
Kevin, come on, Mr. Journalist here.
I
you
think,
have to weigh in.
I think 90% is vastly overrating. And
all right, 89.
I think that is still vastly overrating. I don't think just because you work for a place, you get access. And in fact, in a lot of places, I think they push back against your access.
People disagrees.
There are certain brands that absolutely get more access than others.
I'm sure about that.
People will reach out to you more when you're at that spot. You do get a lot more stuff just presented to you, but it's not
90%.
It's not 90%.
And why is that, Kevin? When Frank Provenzano told us, because I need to get this information out to somebody. You're my guy. I know you'll get it out there and you'll tell my story.
Hey, it was entertaining.
Thank you.
It was good.
You'll tell my truth.
It was entertaining. Where are we tomorrow?
We are at Merido. Live Golf, the Live Golf Championship, the final tournament of the year.
Shut up,
the
Kevin.
The big championship. That's right. We are taking.
Shut up. What, Corey?
We are taking it.
Big time Cowboys Ravens ticket
That's
giveaway.
That's what you
today.
Came up with?
I'm sorry,
Corey.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Cowboys Ravens ticket giveaway during the 10 o'clock hour and the noon o'clock hour today. So, Tolo up.
We're on the road tomorrow morning. The KMC Master, KNC, no Mike, apparently.
He'll be here at some point.
Okay. Next, on 105.3 The Fan.
Our daughter, Jessie, loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective, too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide cleans better than the leading competitive free detergent, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues.
Plus, Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.